والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، على من لا نبي بعده، ولا أمة بعد أمته، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه حسنا وإن جاهداك لتشرك بي ما ليس لك به علم، صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, from time to time, as many of us would be aware, we speak on a great personality of the past, and the intention behind that is that we draw lesson and inspiration from their noble lives so that we could put it into practice in our life. There's also another dimension to it for this week. We had gone through an event where many people, the young people in particular, could perhaps be inclined to regard certain people as role models. It's important for us to once again refocus who really are our role models. And today the person who I would like to speak about and we draw some lessons from his life is Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is a remarkable person amongst the Ashara-i Mubashara. When we say the Ashara-i Mubashara, meaning amongst the 10 people that were given the glad tidings of Jannah by our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while in this world. In fact, he is from the tribe of Bani Zuhra. And anyone who knows Islamic history would be aware that the tribe of Bani Zuhra is the tribe of the mother of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas was the maternal uncle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was, in our parlance, the mamu or the mamaji of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it comes in a hadith in Sahih Bukhari. One day when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in his gathering, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala was coming. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took great pride over this fact. And he said, "Oh people, look at my maternal uncle." And this is the way a maternal uncle of a person is. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to have a great attachment to his maternal uncle. And this was Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And in the beginning stages, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called people towards Islam, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas accepted Islam very early. It is made mention by his own words that he was the fourth male adult to accept Islam. And he accepted Islam at the behest and persuasion of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who persuaded him to accept Islam, showed him the beauty of Islam, and took him to one of the valleys of Makkah to accept Islam at the hands of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. While Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very delighted and happy at his Islam, his mother was not happy at his accepting Islam. And this was a time of great tribulation upon Sa'd because he had great attachment to his mother. Mother loved him, he loved his mother. And his mother then said, "What made you leave the religion of your forefathers? I'm going not to eat, I'm going on a hunger strike. I'm not going to eat until you renounce your religion." And every day he used to come and see his mother getting more and more weak. And it had an impact upon Sa'd until the ayat which I recited in the beginning. There are two very similar ayats, one in Surah Luqman and one in Surah Anqabut, where Allah Ta'ala says, "I command you to be kind to your parents." But there is a limit with regard to obedience to your parents. The only obedience that is without limit is the obedience to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Any other obedience to any other person has a limitation. And here Allah Ta'ala says, "I command you to be good to your parents. وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي." But if they were to force you or emphasize upon you to aliyadu billah, associate partners to Almighty Allah, فَلَا تُطِعُهُمَا, then don't obey them. If the parents were to tell you to do something that is wrong, they are no more worthy of obedience. But in Surah Luqman, وساحبهما في الدنيا معروفة. But continue being good to them even after that. Subhanallah, look at the beauty of the verse of that. To continue being good to them even if you don't obey them in haram. You know, so this was the ayah that was revealed. And thereafter he went to his mother and said, "Oh, mother, I have tremendous love for you, but Islam is Islam. I cannot, irrespective of what you do, even if you have to die in the state." The mother then saw his enthusiasm, his conviction, and she then continued with her life. And he became a Muslim. Also with regard to Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the initial stages of Islam, we are all aware, Muslims had great amount of difficulty from the people of Makkah. And on one occasion, it so happened that one of the people of Makkah, while they were praying, while the Muslims were busy with their ibadat, came to ridicule and came to interrupt the prayers. And while people could sometimes bear that, Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu on one occasion became very angry, and he took a bone of a camel to hit the person who was ridiculing him. That's why he hit him. But then the Quranic ayat came, "Wasbir ala ma yaqulun wahjurhum hajran jamila." That in the time of Makkah, the command was not to retaliate. No matter what the people of Makkah do, don't retaliate. So while Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, overwhelmed by emotion on one occasion, did retaliate, thereafter the Quranic ayat was, "Wasbir ala ma yaqulun," make sabr upon what they say, and leave them, don't retaliate. And that is a Muslim's life, my dear respected brothers. He is not driven by emotion. He has to see the commands of Allah, he has to see situations. Sometimes you also would like to retaliate. Sometimes you also would like to act emotionally. Whereas at times to act emotionally might not be the proper cause for Muslims in a particular situation. And that is what the Muslims, despite the fact that they fell hurt, they fell. How many times they came to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that give us the permission to retaliate. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "No, Allah Ta'ala had said no retaliation. While you are in Makkah, that is your position." When they came back to Madinah Munawwara, made hijrat, Allah says in the Quran, "Udhina lilladhina yuqataluna bi'annahum zulimu." Now you have been given permission to retaliate. Now you have been given permission to make jihad. And what is amazing is that in the first expedition sent out by Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, under the leadership of Ubayd ibn Harith radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas says, as is made mention in Sahih Bukhari, "Inni li'awwal al-Arab," I am the first Arab, "rama bisahmin fi sabilillah," after the permission had been given to retaliate and to fight in the cause of Allah, to set out an arrow, to take a bow and arrow and take that arrow in the path of Almighty Allah. The first person to let an arrow from his bow and arrow was Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In this particular way, he carried on. He was among the forefront of the people who was in the striving for the establishment of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Battle of Badr, he went with his 14-year-old brother. And his brother initially was not given permission to take part in the battle. "You are too small," Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, I'm not small. You gave permission to this person. I'm more stronger than him. I will overwhelm him. I will overcome him in a wrestling match." And he did so in front of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him the permission. And Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas took his brother, but he came back from the battle without his brother, because his brother was amongst those 14 people who was martyred in the Battle of Badr. Then in the Battle of Uhud, you know, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas played a very prominent role. He was amongst those who guarded Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when the people of Makkah were out for the life of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he was a very expert archer. He guarded Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to such an extent that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, while he was, you know, letting fly his arrows, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Ya Sa'd, irmi fidaka abi wa ummi." Subhanallah, how fortunate are the Sahaba. "Oh Sa'd, continue, you know, firing the arrows. May my parents be ransomed for you. May my parents be ransomed for you." And Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu says, "Ma jama'a abawayhi li ahadin illa li Sa'd." I never saw Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam using these words, "May my parents be ransomed for you," except for Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas. This was at the time of Uhud. And then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua for Hazrat Sa'd radiallahu anhu on the battle of Uhud. Allahumma ajdud ramaytahu wa ajib da'watah. Oh Allah, whatever arrows he sends out, make it reach its target and accept his dua. And we'll come back to that particular aspect of his dua, how Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him this aspect of he was mustajab al-da'wat because of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua and because of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's advice. Now another very interesting incident that took place was after the conquest of Makkah with Sa'd. And it gives us many, many lessons. Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, keeping in mind Muslims, Sahaba, left Makkah to migrate to Medina. So they had left their hometown to go to another city for the sake of Allah. So when he came back to Makkah after the conquest of Makkah, he became ill. And his worry was that I'm going to die in Makkah. And I don't want to die in a place which I had left for the sake of Allah. I don't want to die in a place, although it is Makkah, which I had left for the sake of Allah. So he went to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, make dua that Allah Ta'ala keep me alive. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua, he said, Oh Sa'd, you will stay alive. But then he was still worried. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, I got wealth. I want to give my entire wealth in the path of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, No, you can't give your entire wealth in the path of Almighty Allah. Then he said, Ya Rasulullah, allow me to give one half. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, No, you can't give one half of your wealth. Then he said, Ya Rasulullah, give me the ijazat to give one third. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, One third is permitted in Sharia, but with thuluthu kathir, that is also too much. And then look at what Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. What a great lesson we learn. He said, O Sa'd, to leave warathataka aghniya khayrum man antadarahum ala. To leave your family members well maintained and looked after, independent, self-sufficient, is better than to leave them dependent upon other people. O Sa'd, don't do like that. Don't give all your wealth in the path of Allah. Leave it for your children. To leave your children self-sufficient is better than to leave them dependent upon other people. And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, because whatever you spend for the sake of your children, Allah Ta'ala will reward you. But of course, we've got to have the balance. Now today we can't use, our situation today is 99% is already for the children. And that 1% also we find it difficult to give in the cause of Allah. That is also not the right balance. Yeah, he wanted to give whole, one half, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prevented him. But when he came to one third, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, one third, you have the permission. You see, so just keep this beautiful balance. It also tells us how it is important to look after the family, how important it is to use wealth constructively to leave your children, you know, self-sufficient. So what great lessons we learn from these particular type of incidents. So anyway, this was also one of the incidents that took place in the time of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed on. These are some of the incidents that happened. Now the one I would also like to make mention, one day Hazrat Sa'd radiallahu anhu came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, ud'ullah ta'ala an yaj'alani mustajab ad-da'wat. O Prophet of Almighty Allah, make dua that Allah accept all my prayers. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, Ya Sa'd, atib mat amaka takun mustajab ad-da'wat. O Sa'd, eat halal, Allah will accept your prayers. Ya Sa'd, atib mat amaka takun mustajab ad-da'wat. O Sa'd, let what you eat is halal, may your income be halal, and if that is halal, Allah will accept your prayers. How important it is for us that we should always have our food and our income halal. We learn from this one beautiful conversation between Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas and our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a very major aspect of Hazrat Sa'd radiallahu anhu's life, for which he is very well known, is after the Muslims in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, managed to make serious dents to the Byzantine Empire, the Roman Empire, and a decisive battle in there was the Battle of Yarmouk. As Umar radiallahu anhu started concentrating on the Persian Empire in Iraq. And as Umar radiallahu anhu wanted to lead the Muslim army against the Persian Empire. Now there's a long incident, the reason why the Muslims at that time went to confront the superpowers of the time, because they wanted to bring the justice of Islam in a world that had not seen justice at the time, or in a world in which justice was lost. There was no justice. So nevertheless, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu wanted to lead the Muslim army towards the Persian Empire. He called all the Sahaba and he made a mashwara, and he expressed his desire to lead this expedition. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf said, "Oh Umar, you can't do this. Because if you go and something happened to it, to you, then the Muslims will be weakened throughout. We are busy fighting the Roman Empire. And at that particular time something happens to you, then it would actually be have a great demoralizing effect upon the Muslims. You don't lead them." So Nabi Hazrat Umar said, "Who do you suggest?" He said, "We've got a person who is a lion in his den." He said, "Who are you referring to?" He said, "I'm referring to the uncle of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas." Everyone felt it was a very, very good opinion, because Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala was known from the very beginning to be in the forefront of various expeditions. Now, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala gave him many beautiful advisors. You know, some of the advisors, I will just read one or two of them. He told him when he was appointed as the commander of the Muslim army towards the Persian Empire, "Inna Allah la yamhu sayyi'ah bi sayyi'." Inna Allah la yamhu sayyi'ah bi sayyi'. O Sa'd, Allah does not obliterate evil with evil. Allah obliterates evil with good. Inna al hasanat yudhibna sayyi'at, says Allah in the Quran. Good obliterates evil. So when you have evil, follow it up with good. The good will obliterate the evil that you have done. Allah doesn't obliterate evil with evil. Allah obliterates evil with good. And then, Sa'd, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ أَحَدٍ نَسَبٌ إِلَّا بِتَاعَتِهِ. Subhanallah. And he wanted to say this to Sa'd because Sa'd could have taken pride. I'm the uncle of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, Sa'd, Allah has no relationship with his creation. Allah doesn't have a relationship, a blood relationship. Allah doesn't have anything that he owes you or you are entitled from Allah. Illa bita'atih, except through his obedience. What words of wisdom. Sa'd, Allah doesn't owe anyone anything. Neither are you entitled to Allah, from Allah Ta'ala from anything from Allah Ta'ala. Except bita'atih, except through the means of obedience to Allah. That is a relationship between us and Allah. That we must make ita'at, then Allah Ta'ala will reward us if he wishes. And then Hazrat Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala went. And first Umar radiallahu ta'ala told him, Sa'd, go and send people to go and give them the message of Islam. What is amazing in this particular aspect was the dignity with which the people went with the message. Hazrat Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala sent 14 envoys. Sent 14 envoys. Different envoys. He once sent Rabi ibn Amir, and then he sent different other, Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala, to either the commander of the army of the Persian Empire, sometimes to the Persian Empire himself. He sends them all. And it was in this very same envoy, Rabi ibn Amir, who made that remarkable comment, which still today shines out in the pages of Islamic history. When the Persian Empire, maybe him or the commander, asked him, Rabi, why have people come from Arabia? Why have you come here to confront us? He said, no, we have not come on our own. Allah ibta'atha lana. Allah has sent us. لنخرج العباد من عبادة العباد إلى عبادة رب العباد. Allah has sent us to take creation away from the bondage of creation and put them in the bondage of the creator of creations. In the same Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas who sent Rabi ibn Amir as an envoy to tell the Persian Empire this. We have come to take you away from the bondage of creation. You know, to put you in the bondage of the creator of creation. Allama Iqbal had said, وہ ایک سجدہ جسے تو گران سمجھتا ہے, ہزاروں سجدے دیتا ہے آدمی کو نجات. That one sijda that you find difficult to make in front of Allah Ta'ala will free you from making sijda to 1,000 other people. Make one sijda to Allah Ta'ala. That will free you from being dependent upon anyone else. You know, so he said, we have come to take people away from the bondage of creation and put them in the bondage of creator of creation. We have come to take people away from the injustice of other religions and to bring them to the justice of Islam. And we have come to take people away from the narrowness of this world to the vastness of this world and in the year after. Right? So after 14 envoys, they still felt, although they had the hesitation, because they could see this was truth. Therefore, they had this hesitation. They asked for envoy after envoy. And then when there was nothing could come up and they were still bent on fighting, then the Muslims fought. And this particular battle took place, Qadisiyah took place, which was the major battle that broke the back of the Persian Empire, led by Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas. 4 days, many thousands of people were killed in this. And Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas was sick. So he stood on the top and he directed the Muslim army. It was after Zuhr when he read the takbir and he sent people out in the path of Almighty Allah. And Allah Ta'ala granted them victory. There was a very interesting incident of Abu Mahjan. Abu Mahjan was a poet. Poets have their own ways. They have their own particular inclinations. So Abu Mahjan was imprisoned by Sa'd for being drunk. Right? So when he saw the battle, he couldn't take it. He sent a message to Sa'd's wife. And he said, please, I want to fight in the path of Allah. Even if I have become drunk, even if I have done wrong, I want to go make jihad. Please free me. I will bring myself back and tie myself back and imprison myself. Sa'd's wife, you know, did that. She freed him. And Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas says, I never saw anyone who was more brave in the battlefield than Abu Mahjan. He said, I looked at him closely. He looked like Abu Mahjan. And I said, Abu Mahjan is in prison. But then when he came back and I realized that it was Abu Mahjan, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu freed him. And then after that, it broke the back of the Persian Empire. Then Allah Ta'ala granted victory to the Muslims and they crossed over the river Tigris in its flood to take over the capital city of the Persian Empire, because at that time the leader of the Persian Empire was killed and they fled in disarray and they went into their city feeling that that will be safe. But when they saw the Muslims crossing the river Tigris in full flood with great enthusiasm, with iman, they left all their posts and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted victory to the Muslims over the Persian Empire under the commandership of Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, one of the Ashra'i Mubashara, one of the great people of Islamic history. And you know what Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said at that time, when the Muslims were in great difficulty, they were putting stones on their stomach because they were hungry. They didn't have food. And the Sahaba came to complain. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't you worry, O Sahaba, a time will come when the Persian Empire will fall at the hands of the Muslims. And the people, the munafiqs in Medina, made a joke. And they said they don't have food to eat. And they seen dreams of conquering the Persian Empire. From that time, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made this remark, in 15 years, Allah Ta'ala granted victory to the Muslims over the Persian Empire. Subhanallah. And then he continued, he founded the city of Kufa. The city of Kufa became a very great city of Islamic learning. The city of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, where Abdullah ibn Mas'ud gave lessons of fiqh. The city of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayh. That city was founded by Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas. Even today, the Jami' Masjid in Kufa is related, or people say it was started off by Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he passed away at the age of 80. There's a very interesting thing. If you do a Google search on the tomb of Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, you will find the tomb, it is in Guangzhou, in China. The Muslims in China say that Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu is buried in China. Although Muslim historians don't agree with that fact. They said it could be another Sahabi. It could be maybe Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas sending people to China. But in China, if you go, it's commonly known that this is the grave of Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas. Although historically, it is more common that he's died near in Iraq somewhere. And he died at the age of something 84 or so. And before he died, he told his children, you know, I have a jubbah that I wore at the time of the Battle of Badr. You know, bury me with that jubbah. Bury me with that jubbah that I wore at the time of the Battle of Badr. And in this way, he died, leaving behind a remarkable legacy, leaving behind an inspiration and lesson for us to follow. Because after all, Allah has commanded us in the 11th surah of the Quran to follow those who are the vanguards of Islam. And undoubtedly, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was one amongst them. May Allah give you a tawfiq of understanding and amal, making amal and following the life of such great people. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.